That's the word he wants to speak over you today. Arise. I know you come in here with these labels. I know you've come in here sick in body. I know you've come in here with all these things distracting and weighing down your mind. But he said, arise. Arise. Come to me. Touch my word. If you have to press through all doubt and all the crowd, get to my word. Reach out and touch me. Don't wait for me to touch you.
People give their heart to Jesus Christ since the beginning of this year. I told them at the beginning of the year, I'd just like to see 500 saved, and we're almost there, and we ain't even halfway through the year. So I give God praise for it. Amen. And, you know, there are very poor people in India. They, on average, they have about 2 changes of clothes per pastor. And they eat 1 meal a day, if that. And everything we send them, they'll go and buy Bibles and clothes for other people and feed people and give them the Word of God. Because their mission in India is just get someone a Bible and their life's going to be changed. Let them just hear about Jesus and their life's going to be changed forevermore. And all these Hindus are finding out that Jesus is the one and true God. And I give him praise. I'm telling you what, I thank God. I thank God for the connections that he's working. And this morning, we're going to talk about the woman with the issue of blood. And we're going to talk about God as a healer. Amen. And if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Mark, chapter number 5. We're going to start reading in verse number 25. Mark, chapter 5. We're going to start reading at verse number 25. And then we're going to drop down to verse number 34. We're going to read through them verses. Amen. Mark, chapter 5. We're going to start reading at verse number 25. Amen. Praise God. And when you find that, if you're physically able to and willing, would you stand today in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? I like giving reverence to the Word. Mark chapter 5, I'm going to start reading at verse number 25 again. If you've got it, say amen. And this is what the Word says. And a certain woman, don't even know her name, which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Let us pray together. Father, we just thank you for the atmosphere of worship in this place. I thank you for your presence that is in this house, God, and the fellowship of our brothers and sisters. God, I pray that you'd anoint these lips of clay, that you would speak forth the word in season to your body of people. God, let us not speak on the enticing words of man's wisdom, but Father, in demonstration of your love, power, spirit, and anointing, God, clothe me with humility. Hide me behind the cross, that everything that is spoken, everything that is said and done in this place will be under the honor and glory of your sweet, precious, and holy name. Father, let there be a wave of healing that will cover this house today. Whatever the need is, God, I pray that you will supply it and provide it by faith according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, God, that you would heal the brokenhearted, that you would set the captive free, that you would heal the sick, that you would spiritually revive those that feel dead inside, God, that you would give life and life more abundantly in this place. Father, we thank you and we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. And the church says amen. And you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Today I want to talk about a subject of stop the bleeding. Stop the bleeding, because the church is bleeding, folks. And I'll get into that in just a minute, but we're going to lay some groundwork here. Now, I believe that Jesus had went across the Sea of Galilee through a storm, and he had just casted out a demon out of the maniac of Gadara, a legion, which would be 6,000 demons out of one man. cast it out of the man. Then they ran him out of town because of what he did, because he cast the demons into a herd of swine. Swine was used as a sacrifice for Baal. It was very expensive. It was very important to them. And so they wanted Jesus out of the region. They wanted him out of the land. So he went back to the other side of Galilee into Capernaum. And as soon as he went into Capernaum, there met him a man by the name of Jairus. He was a ruler, I believe, of the synagogue. He was a very wealthy man. He was high in the order, high in the society there, in the culture, very well known. He said, "My daughter is at the point of death. Would you please come to her?" And of course, Jesus, he could just speak the word and someone be healed. He didn't have to go into that house and lay hands on the sick for her to recover. But he was going to go because he wanted him to come. And there was a great multitude thronging him. There was a great people just covering him. But in the middle of everything that was going on, there was this woman with a specific issue. It doesn't matter what your issue is, God can take care of it today. No matter the issue, and there, this crowd was thronging him. Amen. But this woman who was considered unclean, according to, I believe, Leviticus chapter 15, verses 19 through 33, the Bible teaches us of this, when you had an issue of blood, this continual hemorrhaging, you were unclean. Everything you touched was unclean. If they sat in your seat, you were unclean. If you sat in that person's bed, if you laid down, you were unclean for 7 days. You were put outside the city. You had a label on you that you were unclean, that you were rejected, that you were lonely, that you were outside of everything that was going on in society. This is where she was. But when she heard that Jesus was passing by, she knew that the healing was in His Word, because the Bible says in 1 John 3:8, He is the Word that was made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. What are those works? It is sin. It is sickness. It is disease. It is temptation. It is every label that can come upon your life. If you come in here with a label that you're broken, that you're rejected, that you're depressed, that you're an outcast through Jesus Christ and His precious blood, those labels can be broken in this place this morning. Amen. So they were considered outcasts, and they would be outside of society, and in 7 days they would appear to the priest and to see if they were clean. If they looked clean, they would still go out another 7 days and would come back. And if they seen, okay, this is completely stopped, she's pronounced clean, they would do a burnt offering and they would do a sin offering. A sin offering is an offering for a sin, an unintentional sin that was committed. A burnt offering would say, hey, I am dedicated to your purpose. But Jesus is that sin offering. Jesus is that burnt offering. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. In the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, it was a sacrifice of animals. But in the New Covenant, it was the Son of God who came in the form of human flesh, who shed His blood, that by His stripes we are healed, that He was wounded for our transgression, that He was bruised for our iniquity, at the chastisement of our peace is upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Now in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible says, by His stripes we were healed. We're healed. Meaning that He's already done the work. All we got to do is believe it. He's already done it. He's already healed us. We just got to receive it. He wants to save us and do a new work in our life. We just got to reach out and accept it this morning. Because He is a healer. He is a deliverer. We don't serve a dead God. He's not going on a vacation somewhere. He is risen from the dead. The tomb is empty. And we can be healed today. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. So in the name of Jesus, those labels can be broken off your life. Now, see, what you got to understand today, we have a lot of prescriptions, and there's nothing wrong with medicine. If you got to take medicine, you got to take medicine. But Jesus is the great physician, folks. He could heal you and cure you of anything that's going on with your life. But something that I've noticed is that every prescription has a side effect. You ever watch those commercials? Antidepressants. Your side effects, it results in a hurt organ, and your kidneys are shutting down, and your shoulders hurting, and you're going to have suicidal thoughts. I've never connected that. How do you take antidepressants and you having suicidal thoughts? I don't understand. But in Jesus, there's no side effects. Let me give you an example. You know, one of the strongest things that anyone has to overcome is the desire for nicotine. And a lot of times if people are trying to get off cigarettes, they use nicotine patches. And the side effects of a nicotine patch usually includes dizziness, high blood pressure, itching and burning, nausea, redness of skin, all these side effects, but you'll help with that problem with your nicotine fit. Okay? But see, spiritually, I believe a lot of people have a nicotine patch on. Because, you see, a lot of times we have issues. And they turn to drugs, or they turn to alcohol, or they turn to something, but they're not getting to the root of the problem. They're trying to deal with the fruit, but not getting to the root. The root is bitterness. The root is hate. The root is unforgiveness. The root is lust. The root is things that are hidden that you're trying to not expose to anybody else. But a lot of times people are using nicotine patches, and they're trying drugs, and they're trying sex outside of marriage, and they're trying alcohol. They're trying anything to try to overcome the hidden issue. But you got to get to the root of the problem. Amen. And it's by His grace that that root can be uprooted out of your life. Amen. Praise God. You know something? The blood of Jesus is the perfect antidote for any sickness and pain that comes against you. You know, if someone gets bit by a poisonous snake, they have to use anti-venom for it. One of the main sources for anti-venom is the blood of a sheep. What they'll do is they'll take a snake and they'll put it into the sheep's skin. And when the antibodies in that bloodstream of that sheep come up, they extract those antibodies from the bloodstream so that when someone actually gets bitten by a snake like us, they'll use those antibodies to fight against and counteract that poison and that venom. You see, because there's a devil loose. He is the serpent. Amen. And he seeks to poison us with sin and poison us with sickness and poison us with pain. Amen. But the blood of Jesus Christ is the perfect anti-venom for any attack of the enemy. Are you with me, church? It doesn't matter what kind of devil comes against you. It doesn't matter what kind of work it comes against you. The blood of Jesus is the best counteraction against any trouble, any trial, any pain that the devil brings against you. I had a friend of mine, a pastor friend of mine over in Pennington. He gave me some information back, I guess it was last year. And he was talking about diagnosing pains and problems. And they'll use a Petri dish and they will take bacteria and things and they will use it to try to find a cure for a certain sickness or a certain pain. And what he said, Petri dishes are prepared with a gelatin-like substance containing 5% sheep's blood, and it takes 72 hours for the plate to grow the microorganisms of the bacteria so that it'll produce an antibiotic to produce healing. The medium provides an excellent environment in which we can watch them grow. The sheep's blood will grow out bacteria, microorganism of 39 origins of disease. Now, how does this apply to us? Because sheep's blood is symbolic of the blood of Jesus. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep is dumb before his shears, so was he. Amen. 5% represents the number of grace. 39 is symbolic of the stripes that he bore, the 39 stripes that he bore on Mount Calvary. And that 72 hours represents 3 days. He died, and 3 days later, he resurrected. What I'm trying to tell you is, no matter what you've been diagnosed with, no matter what label you got on you, it might be cancer, it might be disease, it might be arthritis, it might be depression. It doesn't matter what label it is, put it to Jesus. Try it to the Word, because He can surely take care of the situation. How many know God's a healer this morning? Oh, hallelujah. Because this is what the church is. The church in America is bleeding. We are hemorrhaging. We are unclean in the church because we have more pop psychology going on behind the pulpit than what thus saith the Lord. We have entertainment rather than the anointing. We're blindfolding the sheep, and we're preaching sugar-coated messages and paving a Milky Way road to hell. Are you with me, church? We're doing everything to entertain and try to appease people, but we're not trying to appease God, and we're trying to please people. What draws the crowd, what makes them happy, what makes them feel good, but there's no change, there's no conviction, there's no difference. I'd rather have the Word. Give me Jesus. I'd rather have the Word, because when He comes on the scene, He said the captive will be set free. When He comes, the truth is proclaimed. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you see in America, the first time in America's history, in its history, since 1776, this is the first time that the number of Protestants are below 50%. We have more books from preachers that you can have. We have the greatest mega churches that you can have. We have everything, but yet there's that kind of harvest in America. And it's the third greatest mission field in the world today, next to China and India. We need to wake up. The church is bleeding. We got to get on bending knees. I said we got to get on bending knees. We got to push some plates aside. We need revival in America. We need healing in the church. The nation is bleeding. The government is bleeding. Our schools are bleeding. All roads don't lead to heaven. It's government's bleeding. We take Bibles out of schools. The school is bleeding. Listen to me, students. They did it from teachers, but not from you. When I first went into high school, amen, I was picked on. I was made fun of. I was made light of. The seniors and the juniors would come and play around with me. But when I got a junior and senior, we had revival in our high school. Amen. We got to work your way up. That's part of life. You got to work your way up. You go through things and you don't understand why. By the time we got a junior and senior, we had revival. Hundreds of kids were saved in those 2 years of revival. Listen, you just got to be the instrument. You got to be the representation of the Word of God. Because we're Christians. You know what that means? We're Christ-like. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. John 1:14 says that the Word was made flesh. Amen. See, that's Jesus. He's been here since the beginning. The Bible says in the beginning was the Word. That's all God spoke. He spoke light and there was light. He spoke the earth and the heavens. Hebrews 11:3, we know by faith the worlds were framed by the Word of God. But in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. Because eventually when you get with the Word long enough, you'll become what you read. See, when you allow into your senses pornography and ungodly music, and you can't feel God's Spirit like you would want to. But when you get with the Word, it changes your perspective. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when you get with the Word, you'll eventually become it. Amen. That's like when Jesus said, if you just have the faith as of a grain of a mustard seed, and you'll say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, it shall be done, and nothing will be impossible unto you. Because we're to walk in that realm of the impossibilities becoming possible. That dead things come to life. He said that when you become the Word, he said eventually you'll put flesh on that Word. You need to put flesh on your words this morning. See, I can speak a lot of things, but if I'm not stepping out in faith, what difference does it make? Hallelujah. Without faith, without works is dead, being made alone. I can speak things. I can say, well, revival is coming to my school, but if I ain't doing anything about it, what difference does it make? Are you with me, church? We've got to work. We've got to work while it's day, for night comes when no man can work. Amen. We got to have a vision. Proverbs 29:18, without a vision, the people perishes. We need to have flesh on our vision and show our faith by our works. Amen. Because that's who Jesus was. He was the manifested Word of God. Hallelujah. Is that all right for anybody? Because when you start walking like Jesus walks, amen, you'll start being a representation of Him, and then things will begin to happen. Signs, wonders, and miracles, and truth will be coming out of you. The Word will be coming out of you. Have you ever been in a tight situation and all of a sudden the words just starts coming out of you, authority? You start speaking life. You start speaking healing. Scriptures start rolling out of you. You don't even know where it came from. Because when you get with the Word and it gets in here and it comes out, then things begin to change. My Lord have mercy. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word substance is hypostasis, which means a setting under, an assurance, and confidence. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is what makes up your hope, and it's the evidence of things not seen. It is your vision. It's seeing things happen before it actually takes place. Amen. Faith is the middle ground from getting your hope and making it to reality. See, what you've got to understand is the woman with the issue of blood, she didn't operate in a realm of hope. She operated in a realm of faith. You know what hope does?
Hope is sitting there on your padded pew and say, God, I'm just waiting for you to bless me. Faith says, I don't care what I have to get through. If I have to press through a crowd, I'm going to touch him. I don't have to wait for him to touch me. I will touch him. See, that's the difference. Hope is waiting for God to touch you. Faith is pressing through to touch him. Hallelujah. Is that all right for anybody? Hallelujah. I can sit here and wait for God to move. Wait for God to bless me. Lord, just bless me. Lord, just bless me. But you see what the woman with the issue of blood did? She was an outcast. She said, I'll get to where they're at. I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I won't come through standing up. I'll crawl on my knees. I'll crawl on my knees to get to God and just touch the hem of his garment. I'll get to that in just a minute, but we got to have a faith determination. We can't, you know, you can live without hope, but you can't live without faith. The just shall live by faith. God Almighty. A lot of people have hope for a lot of things. They might hope they win $1 million in the lottery. But faith says, I'll work to get there. Amen. Now, yeah, you're quiet on me now. Now you're quiet on me. I just want to preach what's on my heart today. Hope that's okay. Hallelujah. But we need to have faith in God, and we need to release faith, amen, into the atmosphere. Because listen, this is what the scripture says, that she would, that this certain woman, not known by name, she came at the most inopportune time to Jesus' presence. He was on his way to heal somebody else. And she interrupted his schedule to get what she needed. We need to interrupt God's schedule. See, God wants to interrupt our schedule all the time. He would love for you to just put the remote down and go pray. He would love for you to push the plate aside and just seek his face. But see, sometimes we need to say, God, I know you're busy, but I've come to you today. I just want to interrupt his schedule. Father, wait just a minute. I know you're busy, but I just need your presence. I just need an answer. I need a revelation. I just need a word from you. And this certain woman, we don't even know her name, that was unclean, that couldn't touch anybody, that couldn't touch anything. When she heard Jesus was coming by, she had tried medicine for 12 years, and instead of getting better, she grew worse. But she pressed through the crowd and touched his garment, for she said in verse 28, if I may touch but his clothes. He don't have to preach a 30-minute sermon to me. He don't have to be on TBN and try to tell me how to sow a seed and reap $1,000 in my mailbox. Amen. That's faith without works, ain't it? Work! That's what I'm trying to tell you, work! Hallelujah. Praise God. But anyway, what I want to say is this. She said, if I could just touch him, because he is the living word. If I can just touch his word, if I can just reach out and touch him, then I'll be made whole. She had to keep telling herself. I believe she sat there and the devil was finding her left and right. I can't imagine that conversation. Devil just there whispering in her ear. You're unclean. What are you even doing here? What are you even trying to get to him? Why are you even here? But she had to talk to herself. If I can just get to him. Every step, every crawl on her knee, if I can just get to him. Oh, Curtis, if I can just get to him. If I can just touch but the hem of his garment. My Lord, have mercy. I feel like preaching. Is this all right? If I have to press through the crowd, if I have to get on my knees, if I just touch but his clothes, I'll be made whole. I believe somebody in this place needs to have that kind of determination today. I don't know what kind of load you came with. I don't know what you're going through, but we got to be determined. If I can just get to where God is, if I can just get to his throne this morning, if I can just get a hold of a word, I know today is my day. Some of you came here with the same mindset. Well, I'm just going to leave or go and hear a few songs, hear a good message and leave. Amen. But somebody may have come here and said, I am expecting that when I walk out of this place, I'm walking out different. I'm walking out healed. I'm walking out restored. That's the made of mine. Lord have mercy. That we've got to have. Amen. Praise God. I want to explain to you. I want my wife to get my prayer shawl. How many know what a prayer shawl is? Raise your hand. Let me see several of you. Okay. I want to talk about a prayer shawl for just a minute. Is that all right for anybody? Hallelujah. Praise God. Because what you got to understand is what Jesus was clothed with. He was clothed with the prayer shawl. Well, the prayer shawl is what we call it today. And it's been like that since the times of medieval Europe. But in his day, it was called the tallit, the covering, what overshadowed him. A lot of times, the Jewish people, They would go by themselves and their tallit or their prayer robe. Amen. They would go, in that day, it went from their shoulder all the way down to their ankles. Amen. But in our day, it, of course, it goes more like to our shoulder, a little bit above our hip, that kind of thing. And now it's just used for prayer. But they used to wear it all the time. Okay. And see, what you've got to understand is on a prayer shawl, when I open it here, on a prayer shawl that has all these, all these tassels and things, if you like to call it, on the ends of it. Amen. And on, if you stretch this out, I want to get someone to help me. Brandon, come up here and help me. Amen. So I can stretch out so you can see it. Okay. So when you stretch this out, you've got four corners. Okay. And this would be the piece that was just dragging on the ground. This is what the Pharisees used to wear. Because they said they made these really long so they act like they're holy. Because I believe it's in Numbers chapter 15, verse 38. The Bible says that you were to have these four corners of your robe. It was to be blue and white, because blue was very expensive. The seller of purple that you read, I believe, in Acts, amen, the woman that sold purple, she was a very wealthy person. I mean, this is the most expensive color that you could get. It would take it from a snail. It was very expensive. But anyway, it was interwoven. It would drag the ground. They said this is to represent the commandments, because the blue and the white represents holiness and purity. The blue represents heavenly, because his commandments are of heavenly origin. You see these colors, blue and white. That's why the flag for the nation of Israel is blue and white. It's like the nation is covered in prayer. Are you with me, church? Hallelujah. But see, anyway, they had these, Jesus was wearing this, and this is what the woman with the issue of blood reached out for. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, because I believe in Malachi, the Bible says that he has risen, the Son of Righteousness has risen, Malachi, I believe it's 4:2, with healing in his wings, because she understood the healing is in the Word. She was reaching for the commandments. She was reaching for the Word. Usually in the Jewish culture, they'll say, "Blessed are you, Lord, King of the universe, who has wrapped us with your commandments, who's commanded us to wrap ourselves in the tallit," and they'll clothe themselves. Now, the Jewish culture, they'll say, or the Messianic Jewish culture, they'll say, "Blessed are you, Lord, King of the universe, who's given us commandments to Yeshua, the Messiah, which is Jesus Christ, amen, and has clothed us with his righteousness." And so they would clothe themselves in this, and they would go to an hour of prayer. Thank you, Brandon. So anyway, they would do, this is what they wear, an hour of prayer now among the Jews. But see, this is a spiritual significance that I wanted to give you, because this is about prayer. This is like when they go praying and they cover their heads and they cover themselves with this, amen. It signifies that they're clothed with the presence of the living God. When Jesus was walking with this all the way down to the ground, this is what she touched. She was reaching for the Word. See, that's all she was going for, was the Word of God. That's what you need to reach for today. And this is how we are to look spiritually, so to speak, in the eyes of God. We need to be clothed with the Word of God. We need to understand we need more of His presence now than ever before. This is like their own tent. It was like their own tabernacle. Amen. To get alone in the presence of the living God. So this is what Jesus is wearing all the way down to his toes. But he would go and say, "Who touched my clothes?" The disciples were like, "Lord, you're surrounded by thousands of people. And you're over here asking who touched you? Are you kidding me?" Listen, you can be all around in the services in the presence of God, but never touch him. Ooh, Lord have mercy. But I want God to know I've touched him. I want to know I've touched him. When I leave this place this morning, I want to know that I've touched the very presence of a living God. I don't want him even questioned. I don't even want God to have a doubt in his mind. When he says, "Who touched me?" I want to say, "Hey, here I am. I'm not ashamed. I had a need. I had a label. And it'll be tore off my life." Who touched me? And the disciples said, "You seest the multitude, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, she was a little bit afraid, because she was supposed to be unclean. But that's what Jesus does. He breaks those labels off your life, those religious labels. And he said, "And knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Your faith, not your hope, not religion, not 3 points in a poem, not a few songs, but faith. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Where's your faith at this morning? All doubt is a negative faith. If you doubt God, you have faith more in your storm than you do your God. Don't doubt God. I'd rather have faith in God. Because He can say to the storm, peace be still. He can say to my sickness, be healed. He can say to my family, be saved. And conviction is going to just rock their world. It's faith. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Be whole of your plague. You know what plague means? It means as a Roman whips and scourges somebody as an act of punishment. That's what the word plague means. See, in Bible days, they thought if you went through a problem or you were going through a suffering or something like that, it was a result of a sin. It's just like the blind man. Who did sin? Neither this. Was it? Did he sin in his mother's womb? Or did his parents sin? And Jesus kind of was like, you all are ignorant. How in the world could you think this boy would have sinned in his womb and caused him to be blind? You know, but he said, neither hath he sinned or his parents, but that the works of God. See, some of you come in here and didn't understand why you was going through what you was going through. But God said, I've allowed you to go through it so my works could be made manifest, could be revealed, could turn around your situation. I'm telling you, God is here to move for somebody today. This word's for somebody. It might not be for everybody, but if it's for somebody in this house, God wants to heal you today. God wants to deliver you. Give me a few minutes and I'll land this plane. Amen. I want to talk a little bit more about this tallit because it feels good. If you've ever prayed with a prayer shawl, buddy, I'll tell you what, you'll feel the anointing come and just wreck your world. Amen. But you know what they would do? They would take this prayer shawl for many reasons. Number one, they would make a big prayer shawl for people that got married. And they would put it as the kupa or the chupa, whichever way you want to call it. If I've got any Jewish friends in here and I pronounce any Hebrew words, I'm terribly sorry. Because I'm a redneck, so if I don't pronounce it right, you just say, okay, and overlook me and know I have good intentions, okay? Amen. Praise God. But anyway, it was set under the chupa or the kupa, and they would go up there, and they would stretch it over the marriage, those that were getting married, and they would pronounce blessings over them because they were getting married under the Word of God. Oh, after the Shabbat meal, the father would get his kids, and they would wrap them in the prayer shawl, and the father would pronounce a blessing. How many of you pray over your kids? Come on. Very few. Pray over your kids, and you wonder why they're so confused, and you wonder why they're acting up. Are you praying over them? Are they seeing you pray over them? Are they hearing you pray over them? Because that's what they did in the Jewish culture. By the time they were 5 years old, they could quote the whole Torah. They knew the word. I said they knew the word. So when they got, they said, all right, after the meal, they would get them, the kids and wrap them in this prayer shawl, and he would speak blessings over them. Lord, give me daughters like Leah and Rachel. Let them be sons, amen, like Aaron, amen, like Ephraim or Manasseh, all these sons, and begin to speak blessing on them. Lord, let the spirit of wisdom and counsel and understanding, wisdom and knowledge just overwhelm their life. And he would speak blessings over them. Problem is, this generation of parents are cursing their children. You're not good enough. You're too young to preach. You're too young to sing on the praise team. What is the matter with you? Why are you messing up so much? Why are you coming home with those grades? Why are you so sick all the time? It's always curses and curses and never blessing. We got to pray over our home because there's a devil loose that would like to destroy your home. When divorces are equal inside the church as they are outside the church, we are not praying enough. We are not praying enough. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, I believe in 1 Corinthians 7, I believe it is. The Bible says if a disagreement comes within a home, within parents, within a husband and wife, they are to separate themselves and get into their own place in the house and begin to pray so that the devil don't wiggle his way in there and form a temptation and cause destruction. In other words, you got to pray. A family that prays together stays together. I mean, that's a model we got to live by. We need to pray. We need to live in the Word of God. That's what I'm trying to tell you today. We need to live in the Word. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm about to close and wrap this thing up, give you a chance to pray. Amen. But I hope this is blessing somebody. Hallelujah. I said, I hope this blesses somebody. I hope you're learning something this morning. Amen. Praise God. But we need to be under the canopy of the glory of Almighty God.
Hallelujah. So now you understand what Jesus was clothed with. And now you understand why people were getting healed. Mark 6 and 56. Do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Mark 6, 56. This is way after Mark 5, 25 through 34. Way after that. In Mark 6, 56, the Bible says that they were in the villages and the streets. And that everyone was coming to Jesus to just touch the hem. I hope somebody's ready to touch the hem of his garment this morning. Touch his word this morning. Because there's healing in his word. He sent forth his word and healed them and delivered them from every destruction. Psalm 107. He wants to send forth his word into this place. The centurion said, Lord, don't even step in my house. But if you just speak the word, my servant is going to be healed. There's power in the word of God. You know what the word of God is? The Bible says it's a two-edged sword. The word two-edged means two mouth. The word of God holds power when you speak what God has said. And then it can tear down those strongholds and those temptations and those trials that rest over your life. It is speaking the word into your situation. Amen. Praise God. I'll give you a chance to pray this morning. I want the worship team to come. Amen. If they would, and get a song ready. Amen. I don't think I held you too long. Amen. But I do want to give you a chance to pray. The word got out after her healing so great that people in other cities and villages were just going through the crowd to just touch the hem of his garment. God wants to work such a testimony in your life today that if you could just touch him and your situation be taken care of, that you'll go forth from this place and shout it on the rooftops and let everybody know what God's done in your life. Amen. It was her faith that healed, that resulted in her healing. What source is your faith in this morning? Is it in your storm? Or is it in Jesus? Is it in the Word of God? Where's your faith at this morning? Now, in the midst of everything going on, Jesus healed this woman. And right when she got her healing, they came with the report to Jairus. Jairus, your daughter, she's dead. He could immediately got bitter with this woman with the issue of blood. If you would have just took your unclean self and stayed away, then my daughter could be alive right now. But she is dead. I don't have to bury my little baby girl. Amen. But Jesus said, only believe. Woo. Only believe. It's going to be all right. Got to the house and everybody in the room and, oh, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn. He laughed until it got Jesus mad. He said, you know what? Get all your doubt and get it out of here. I want those with faith in the room. I want those with faith in this room this morning. And he grabbed that girl by the hand. Rise. Wake up. Hallelujah. And she woke up and she was made whole. What she said to her was, Talitha Kumai, which is damsel, I say unto you, arise. Hallelujah. I rise. And she got up and she was made whole. Hallelujah. He was the word Talitha Kumai. You see in that word Talit, he's the word. His word was arise. That's the word he wants to speak over you today. Arise. I know you come in here with these labels. I know you've come in here sick in body. I know you've come in here with all these things distracting and weighing down your mind. But he said, arise. Arise. Come to me. Touch my word. If you have to press through all down and all the crowd, get to my word. Reach out and touch me. Don't wait for me to touch you. Come and touch me. Let's all stand across this building. Oh, Jesus. This is word is for several in so many ways. Word is for several in so many ways. I've seen many tears. I've seen many people just so broken. And so, no, this word is for you. Don't look around, brother and sister, or your friend or family or loved ones. Say, that word's for me. What label are you bearing this morning? Is it I'm lost? Is it I'm a reject, an outcast? I'm broken. Is it that label, that diagnosis of cancer and disease and sickness? What label do you bear? It's time to press through the crowd. Get to this altar and touch the hem. Reach out and touch him.